Friends, you're back for another episode of Luminosity. It's a mental health podcast. I'm Justin Crawford.
And I'm Kevin Quinn.
It is so good to have you back with us. This episode is on attention focus. And I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I definitely have ADHD. And you...
I do have ADHD as well.
So this so you're is dealing with perfect. two co-hosts and people that are steering a conversation of attention and focus, yet we have ADHD. So this is going to be not only interesting... But I think part of us having ADHD, by the way, is the awareness, and we've been able to like hopefully navigate it. So that's something we'll get into today. And you also mentioned that we'll be talking about dissociative disorders, things like that that come with how the mind meets your attention and focus. And hopefully coming out of this episode, you can walk away thinking to yourself, okay, how can I navigate every single day of my life with better attention and focus as it relates to your mental health? So thanks for joining us. Kevin, let's go. This is like...
Absolutely.
Interesting topic.
I'm ready. I think it is an interesting topic, you know, and also because when people think of attention and focus, like, first of all, I personally wonder, like, are they similar? Are they the same? Are they different? So we're going to cover that and like the differences and potentially talk about that. But also attention and focus in general as a topic, you wouldn't think it really applies to mental health, but it does, surprisingly, and in a pretty extensive manner, just because there are so many mental health disorders that have symptoms that affect attention and focus. And like you said, there's dissociative disorders, ADHD. We're going to cover all of that. Another one is trauma, you know, just trauma in general. Like how does experiencing trauma and potentially revisiting that trauma in your head pull you out of everyday life and sort of affect your ability to focus or maintain attention? So we're going to talk about all that. But first off, let's talk about what is it, you know, like what is attention? What is focus? I mean, you know, I think we all have an idea of what it is, but let's just talk about the actual... The Merriam-Webster definition, as we love to do on Luminosity.
I can't wait for the day that you marry that person.
Yeah, right. Focus is defined as an act of concentrating interest or activity on something, while attention is considered to be notice taken of someone or something, the regarding of someone or something as interesting or important. Do you really find, like, maybe there isn't a difference, but... Do you find that there's a difference in those definitions?
Between only the reason two? I say yes is because interest is in both of those.
And oh, I didn't
know. That's
an
important word to look at. If you're interested in something or someone is interested in you,
that's going to spark it. That's going to spark attention. Spark
yeah, and focus. I think it's up to you mentally whether or not you focus.
Right.
You know, after you've okay, you tell me something because you put together so many. Your brain was working earlier than mine this morning. So attention and focus. Do you believe that your attention is one thing to then focus? I think they might not be two separate things. They may actually have to be together.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I want to find differences and nitpick it to find like differences between attention and focus. I really think they're just two words for the same thing.
Last year, we talked about attention and focus being a topic, and we had to come to a conclusion that that was... They're two. They are literally together. They're morphed into one thing.
Yeah.
Because if you separated the two, then it's like, then you're just talking about attention. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's that? Okay. But then focus. Okay. Well, what's that? Attention and focus. I mean, those two definitions make a lot of sense.
I think so too.
You know, to like spike your interest, your attention goes up, right? You're like, oh, okay. Then you can zero in.
So let's make our own definition based on what we've read here and assume that attention and focus are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And really, they are both, at their core, they both have to do with the subjective interest of whoever is maintaining that attention, maintaining that focus, because it's really that person's interest in whatever they're doing or whatever they're thinking that is going to allow them to maintain their attention or their focus.
That's right.
So why is this important? You know, like that's the next thing I wanted to cover. Like, why is attention and focus an important topic in mental health or relative to mental health? Do you have an idea as to why that is?
Well, remember last year I was talking about information overload, and a lot of the topics we've covered since then, I think, relate to what you're putting your attention and focus on. What I mean by that is when you're living your everyday life, they always say like your day is what you make of it, right? Your life's what you make of it, and there's no coincidences when you're focused on the right things. And you and I talked about it in the workplace episode where, you know, you're only going to get really good at your job if you focus. You and I talked about this with Luminosity. Like, we are so focused on it, and it's probably where we're going to see the most growth, right? And or success for what you and I want it to be. And as it relates to mental health, I guess the information overload part just comes to mind, because really, if you think about it, like, there's too much going on in your brain and you're focused on too many things, or your attention's getting distracted. We should talk about distraction today too.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're laser focused and then you get distracted, then you got to reattention yourself into that thing. And like, that takes 3 to 5, what do they say? Like, someone told me a long time ago, I think it's 3 to 8 minutes. If you were to really want to focus on something, this could be completely wrong. I always say 5, but if I'm hyper focused on something for 5 minutes, I can really go in and just stay focused. And then I could do that for 30 minutes and then I pull back out.
So that's what I was going to ask you too, because you've admitted that you struggle with ADHD.
It's bad.
So obviously that would mean that you struggle to maintain focus at times, but here you are talking about how you have this innate ability to zero in on something and become very focused very quickly.
Doesn't that feel like a double-edged sword?
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Why is that in the case for someone like you struggling with ADHD? Do you have an idea as to why that is?
Well, like, it's like, okay, for instance, with this podcast, you know, before this, Kevin and I, like, I took like several calls in the car, answering emails, calling my assistant, and then Kevin staying on the one topic. Now that I think about it, this is exactly the perfect example. We're getting to the studio and I'm like shooting missiles off, and I'm texting Matthew like, we're on our way, and da da da. And then I'm like, my assistant, I'm like, put this on the calendar Monday. Da, da, da. And then I'm answering calls. And so that's how my brain naturally works. And yes, everything gets done, right?
Right.
People get really frustrated with me, by the way. Kevin probably too. But anyway, you stayed directly on that topic the entire 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yet I was doing 1,500 things and then was able to come back to it. Yet here on this podcast, I can stay 100% present. And it's because we're sitting in a very specific environment, and I can stay on this topic with you for as long as it lands and then not worry about anything else.
That's so interesting. I mean, because again, we both have ADHD, and it could very well look different for both of us and what our symptoms are and the subjective severity. Mm-hmm. But I also do recall that not even 30 minutes ago when we were walking in Santa Monica, you know, after grabbing some coffee, you know, I was very zeroed in on one topic, and you were doing like a million things at once, like calling people and like having a tough time staying focused. And I know that's just you. I don't mind it, you know.
But you also on the walk back said, you keep me grounded in business. And that's important. So anybody listening, if you know that you struggle with attention and focus, and it comes natural to you to be a little bit all over the place, your superpower becomes who you're staying in business with or in life with.
I was going to ask you if you viewed that ability to sort, let's call it multitasking.
Ooh,
Do you view that as a superpower? And if you do you attribute it to your ADHD?
Absolutely. Really? Answer, yes.
So you think do you think that there's an opportunity for people struggling with ADHD to thrive in their personal lives, their careers? What do you think?
Yes, the answer is absolutely yes. You can't control, and I'm on no medication. Some people argue like, hey, dude, you should get on some meds. And I'm like,
I think I've even said that to you.
Yeah, I'm like, you have actually. Just choose not to. You know, I get best sleep.
Look,
I know how to multitask. I'm the most creative when my brain's like all over the place. And it's not like I don't sit still. Like, clearly we can have this conversation, but it's taken me years to get to a place where like my attention and focus is selective. How about that?
I agree with you. I feel like my mind is all over the place at times, but if I do zero in on something because I'm interested, going back to the definition, I become very hyper-focused on that thing. And I don't know if that's a common thing for people struggling with ADHD. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
But that's just my subjective experience.
Mm. Yeah. Because it's not a good or bad thing.
No.
I think there's nothing wrong with being laser-focused and being able to do that. That's a very good skill.
Don't they say people with ADHD make like great CEOs and stuff like that?
Yeah. Because a lot of people, I would imagine, I'm just going to speak them up for myself. And if you're listening, you definitely, if you're relating, DM us and tell us what you think about ADHD as it relates to like your job. But I've never thought in a million years I could launch a business, but it's only because I'm able to like connect dots very quickly, hire the right people, see like a lot of my skills previous and current in other people, and just get all of it done and you know, and then be able to like hustle and manage accordingly. And it could be any project. You can tell me to go, you know, help someone purchase a home tomorrow in real estate and I'd figure it out. Or if you can tell me to like launch this podcast with you, but also be the one to like, you know, navigate the sales aspect and the guests and the, you know, the production, of course, like because ADHD allows you to do that, I think.
So it is, I think it is a superpower. You know, I don't take medication for it either. Mm. I take medication. Mind you, listener, I take a ton of medication.
He does.
The BPD stuff, the reason why, my disorder, borderline personality disorder, which I didn't open up to you guys the first season because I wanted, I actually wanted to wait until my latest album came out to make it like very timely because
he also,
the album
you
was,
talked about it with Drake last week.
Yes. And the album was about my struggle with BPD and this new diagnosis. That's and I didn't want to share it with you guys until that album was released. So now the album's out. There's a story behind the album. You guys are aware. This is what I was struggling with. But I do take a lot of medications for that because BPD is so complex and there are so many comorbidities and symptoms.
That's right.
That I take, for instance, antipsychotics, which are typically used for like bipolar. I take that for like, you know, emotion regulation or something like that, right?
Sure.
You'd have to ask my psychiatrist. But then I take something like lithium for like mood regulation, which is something completely different, right? Mm. And then I take an antidepressant for like depression, anxiety symptoms. And then I take an anticonvulsant also for like anxiety symptoms, but also like slowing down my thinking, stuff like that when I have a racing mind. So these different medications have different benefits for my BPD. And they're each treating like the symptoms of BPD. There's no drug that treats BPD as a whole because it's so complex. So there's no like, hey, here's a BPD drug. We have bipolar drugs, we have schizophrenia drugs, but there's no BPD drug. You only have to, you can only take drugs that treat the symptoms of BPD. I don't know why that is. But the reason why I'm talking about this is because as someone who has a comorbidity of ADHD along with my BPD, the typical treatment plan would be for me to take stimulants. These are drugs that treat ADHD, right? Like Adderall, Vyvanse, Strattera. And I don't take any of those. And I wonder why my treatment team made the conscious decision not to put me on those medications despite the fact that I have this ADHD. I am still somehow able to function and maintain attention and focus. So maybe my treatment team thought that like I had just learned to manage my ADHD symptoms, and but I don't take a drug for that. And I just, I think it's a testament, you know, to the fact that, and why I'm telling you this, listener, you know, there are different treatments for ADHD, which we'll get into in the rest of this episode. But for some people, it is medication. But for some people, it's not. Like for me, it's not medication to treat my ADHD. But that said, I do a ton of psychotherapy. That's one of the great treatments for ADHD. For me, it could be that that's working, you know?
Sure.
But I do want to move on here and talk about something called dissociative disorders. Now, dissociative disorders are mental health conditions that involve experiencing a loss of connection between thoughts, memories, feelings, surroundings, behavior, and identity, which is very similar to what I experienced with BPD and identity. These conditions include escape from reality in ways that are not wanted and not healthy. This causes problems in managing everyday life. Now, the symptoms: a sense of being separated from yourself and your emotions, thinking that people and things around you are distorted and not real, a blurred sense of your own identity, severe stress or problems in relationships, work, or other important areas of life, not being able to cope well with emotional or work-related stress, memory loss, also called amnesia, of certain time periods, events, people, and personal information, mental health problems such as depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts and behaviors. And three of these dissociative disorders, which I want to get your opinion on, Justin, because I have a very specific question that I want to talk to you about. The first is something called depersonalization / derealization disorder. And pay attention to this one. Depersonalization involves a sense of separation from yourself or feeling like you're outside of yourself. You may feel as if you're seeing your actions, feelings, thoughts, and self from a distance, like you're watching a movie of yourself. Derealization involves feeling that other people and things are separate from you and seem foggy or dreamlike. Time may seem to slow down or speed up. The world may seem unreal. You may go through depersonalization, derealization, or both. Symptoms which can be very distressing may last hours, days, weeks, or months, and may come and go over many years, or they may become ongoing. Now, this to me is the most interesting,
so interesting,
of the dissociative disorders. And I was actually talking to Kelby, my girlfriend, and she was struggling with something similar to this. Mm. I think it was maybe like a month ago. She was at her job. She does this job in Santa Monica. And during work, for some reason, like she started feeling this feeling like she was outside of her body and that the world around her wasn't real. And I knew about derealization and depersonalization and these dissociative disorders coming from the world of mental health.
Yeah.
And I said to Kelby, I was like, do you think it's possible that you were experiencing something called derealization, depersonalization? And I pulled up, you know, the symptoms online, like, does this sound like what you experienced? And she's like, that's exactly what I experienced. So I think if someone has these symptoms severely, then it's diagnosable as like a dissociative disorder. But there's also an element that like sometimes we as human beings, whether or not, regardless of whether we struggle with like this disorder, we may still experience symptoms of feeling like the world is unreal or that we're outside of our body. And I wanted to ask you, like, do you have, just to see how common this actually is, like we'll call you the control group, Justin Crawford.
Right? That's right.
Like, have you ever experienced this before? Do you have any memories of like, when you felt like you were outside of your body and that the world around you was unreal or that you were in like a simulation, something like that. Very, it's a very mental, heady question, but
it's a very heady
can you
question.
Think of anything?
I mean, almost every day, to be honest with you.
Just really?
In a spiritual sense.
Got
so
it.
If you're listening and you like have any like mindful or spiritual connection to yourself, like, I'll be honest, like I think I opened up about this last year maybe, but like I've lost like 3 friends to suicide.
Yeah.
And many more people before that in my life. So like loss, I think as soon as I lost people, I got into this like not my body, but like the way I looked at life was so spiritual.
Oh. Bro.
So there were days last year in Santa Monica where I would go up to Lake Shrine and I would just like sit there and like it did not feel like I was alive, or it didn't feel like things were happening. And like I have angel numbers. I have like 2, 4, 3, 7 and 2, 17. Then literally the name of my agency is Impact 437. But listen to this. Yesterday where I was looking through my phone and I see that I remember taking a picture when Drake Bell came on the show. And when he went into his first interview that day and then came into interview with you, I haven't seen Drake in forever. Right. And so he rolls up and the parking meter was 437 and it gives me cold chills like nobody's business. But when I was in LA living here, I tapped into so much spirituality to then I can't remember the last time that I didn't feel like things all happened for a reason. And I can't remember the last time that I felt like I wasn't living in my purpose and that I was like a floating soul on this planet. That's where I'm at. Anybody listening, like, obviously this is like very woo-woo stuff, but I'm so keen on that. And like, you know, it's actually really tough to explain. So just to answer your question, yes. I mean, every day I wake up and I'm like, thank God I'm still breathing and my heart's going, but let's just like be so present and like, let's exist. And I see things every day that I'm like, no way in a million years could that have happened. If this was real life.
So this depersonalization, derealization disorder, another, you know, more common term that I think of for people who may experience this without actually being diagnosable with having it, is just sort of this existential anxiety. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I completely relate. I'm not sure if I've talked about it on the podcast thus far. Maybe I have. Listener, you would know. But 5 years ago, my friend Cameron Boyce died.
He passed away.
Yes. And after that happened, and I saw him 36 hours, like a day and a half before he died. I was at a party. Yeah. We were at our friend Nolan Gould's house. He was a cast member of Modern Family. And he and I were at this party, you know, we were talking about the Lakers and stuff, having a good time. And, you know, I left the party thinking, fun party. And then lo and behold, like 36 hours later, he had died, you know, in the morning. And I was devastated. And I can only imagine how devastated his family and like close friends were. You know, I was friends with him, but, you know, I wasn't that close to him. Like he was rooming with another friend of mine, a cast member on Bunked at the time, and they were inseparable. And I was like, oh man, I can't even imagine what he's going through, you know? But after that happened, it sort of like gave me this existential anxiety where I felt like I started questioning like the process of death and like where we go, if there's an afterlife.
Oh,
like,
sure.
And that got me really like analysis paralysis, like tripped out. And I was like, wait, but like, what is the universe? Like, why are we here? What's beyond the universe? Yeah. Like, is there like a heaven and a hell? Like, I don't know. Like, that's when I started turning to like the Bible for answers and stuff. And I was like, I mean,
well, don't you think? I love that you bring that up because it's like, until we, it's weird, right? I'm trying to remember who told me this. I've met a lot of folks in the spiritual space, and there was one, Radke. Anyway, she's a healer. I've also met I've met death gulas. Like, I'm so comfortable with death. Yeah. So I started studying that more than I would have studied any topic in the world, right? Death. And I would get opinions from experts and death gulas and healers and folks that have lost their whole families to fires. Like, and I think that, not to get dark, but, and we'll move on after this, but it's like when you experience loss as a human, that is the, I promise you, that's the epitome of the lowest feeling and emotion. Yeah. And as it relates to mental health, I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to try and know what to do with that, right? Because you have to heal. And your healing process could be spiritual, it could be religious. And I think that goes to what, you know, you said about like finding your religion and where you sit with your beliefs, right? For the higher power in the universe and things like that. Same. My spirituality has allowed me to deal with anything.
Totally. In fact, like, it took Cameron passing away for me to sort of revisit the idea of a higher power or a God. What is God? Like, is it the universe? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know,
how about this?
Else?
On an episode in season 3, we can totally dedicate that with a guest of whoever it might be. And maybe we do talk about
that. Would be cool.
A life after loss, right? Like, what is your life really after losing somebody you love?
And listener, I hope you see how these, you know, as we talk about like some of these dissociative disorders and stuff, how you can see how it ties back to attention and focus and why we're including it in this episode. So obviously this is a tangent for us to talk about grief, but nonetheless, that's where the conversation led. But I'm going to reel us back into where we were headed. And the next dissociative disorder I want to talk about is dissociative amnesia. The main symptom of dissociative amnesia is memory loss that's more severe than usual forgetfulness. The memory loss can't be explained by a medical condition. So that's interesting, right? There's no traumatic injury to the brain. It's just sort of...
just gone.
Just gone, right? So that says to me it's very psychiatric in nature. You can't recall information about yourself or events and people in your life, especially from a time when you felt shock, distress, or pain. A bout of dissociative amnesia usually occurs suddenly. It may last minutes, hours, or rarely months or years. Dissociative amnesia can be specific to events in a certain time, such as intense combat. More rarely, it can involve complete loss of memory about yourself, and it sometimes may involve travel or confused wandering away from your life. This confused wandering is called dissociative fugue. The next is dissociative identity disorder. A lot of people know this as multiple personality disorder. This is a very intriguing disorder, and I've actually met someone in rehab who was experiencing this, and she would be someone with me one moment, and then I would see her like the next day, and she'd be wandering around campus in like a state of like dissociation, not being someone else and not remembering like her name and stuff. And
oh God, that's
it was
intense.
Very interesting. And it's surprisingly different from like borderline personality disorder. A lot of people think like multiple personality disorder, borderline, are they similar? They're very different. But multiple personality disorder involves switching to other identities. Obviously, a very Hollywood version is the movie Split.
I remember
James
that.
McAvoy. Yes. I don't think that's the model example. Usually, it's somewhere around like 2 to 3 personalities and not 16, you know. But you may feel as if you have 2 or more people talking or living inside your head. You may feel like you're possessed by other identities. Each identity may have a unique name, personal history, and features. These identities sometimes include differences in voice, gender, mannerisms, and even such physical qualities as the need for eyeglasses, which is amazing to me if you think about that.
Sure.
There also are differences in how familiar each identity is with the others. Dissociative identity disorder usually also includes bouts of amnesia, which was happening to my friend in rehab, and often includes times of confused wandering, which was also happening. So again, you know, we're talking about confused wandering. I hope that our listener can see how this ties back to attention and focus.
Absolutely.
So, Justin, what are your, like, I want to see how close you are to actually capturing the symptoms of ADHD. You know, we talked about it briefly, but when you think of ADHD, what do you think are like the actual clinical symptoms, or at least from your own experience?
Lack of focus.
Okay, that's one.
An extremely wandered mind.
We have daydream a lot.
Ooh, stop! I daydream a lot.
You do.
Almost every single day.
Do you forget or lose things a lot?
Not as much, but when I was younger, absolutely. I lost everything. My phone, my keys.
Do you squirm or fidget?
Not anymore, but I used to.
Okay. Do you talk a lot?
I literally talk for a living.
I'm going to even say you talk a lot.
I mean, talking.
Nonstop.
Didn't we just say this in the car? I go, Kevin, we are polar opposites is why we're so connected as friends, but also on this podcast.
Because I tend to be very quiet.
I mean, you were driving and he goes, what did you do? I was like, he missed a turn, took a UE or something. And I was like, you sure you don't need directions? And he's like, no, I got this. And so he can go somewhere and have his brain is so organized and he just has muscle memory the different way than I do. Whereas I need a GPS to everything. You don't need one. Obviously you've been here longer, but then you got us to the studio and like, but the way that you were even like driving and talking, it was on that one topic. Whereas for me, I like verbally process. So as we're discussing everything, I'm like, hey, currently texting Matthew to tell him we're going to go here. By the way, oh, hey, I have a thought. Okay, let me do that Monday. But I don't fidget as much as I used to. Okay. My brain fidgets.
I can relate to that.
Or how about this, to stay on that for 2 seconds. I like to hold things. Like I used to love like rubber bands or... I have a ring on my right finger. Everyone thinks I'm married. I'm not. And I just grab it and I play with it. Or I have beads on my wrist. And I love... Oh, wow. Is that called fidgeting?
I would probably be fidgeting.
That's fidgeting.
Do you make careless mistakes or take unnecessary risks?
Yeah, every day.
Okay. Do you have a hard time resisting temptation?
Do I have a hard time resisting temptation? Absolutely. I used to think I was an alcoholic.
You devil, you.
I mean, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty destructive. It's called lack of discipline, to be honest.
Yeah, I can relate to that too.
Nobody on the listening right now, like, don't judge me for this, but like, duh, it's the truth.
Do you have trouble taking turns?
In terms of?
Like, just taking turns, like, if you're doing an activity in a group, then you have to take turns, like, do you have
trouble? Well, I always want it to be the star,
which is, like, not that great. Similar.
Well, it ties to ego, but like when I was young, I wanted to be the star, but it goes to talking too much. So every time I've had to focus on listening, which is, I love this for us, but I always, like I held the mic and it'd be hard to let go as a kid.
I don't think this is you, but this is the last symptom. Do you have difficulty getting along with others?
No, I love everybody.
That's what I was going to say. So you don't fit the criteria for that one.
That's so
By funny. The way, ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder. And it usually emerges in childhood, and it lasts into adulthood. So yes, adults like us have it, but we probably had it as kids first.
Yeah, and it's important as an adult to just know how to deal with it. It's not going anywhere. Yeah.
And there are different types. I want to talk about those. There's predominantly an attentive presentation, which means it's hard for the individual to organize or finish a task, to pay attention to details, or to follow instructions or conversations.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've read an instruction manual or was able to pass a test.
Oh, man. The person is easily distracted or forgets details of daily routines. Then there's also predominantly hyperactive, impulsive presentation, right? So if you're more of an H in the ADHD. The person fidgets and talks a lot. It's hard to sit still for long.
He like points at me as we sit. It looks like you're pointing at me when he's like, he talks a lot, doesn't he?
Smaller children may run, jump, or climb constantly. The individual feels restless and has trouble with impulsivity. Someone who is impulsive may interrupt others a lot, grab things from people.
It's so true. Oh, I just interrupted it. I can't.
Or speak at inappropriate times. It is hard for the person to wait their turn or listen to directions. A person with impulsiveness may have more accidents and injuries than others. And then there's combined presentation, which is, you know, symptoms of the above two types are equally present. What are the causes? We know that brain injury is a potential cause. Exposure to environmental risks, such as lead during pregnancy at a young or at a young age. Alcohol and tobacco use during pregnancy. Premature delivery. I was a month early. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I'm a twin. Twins are usually, you know, they emerge from the womb around 8 months as opposed to nine. Low birth weight. What's the treatment, right? In most cases, ADHD is best treated with a combination of behavioral therapy, like CBT. That's a great tool. And medication, typically stimulants, as we mentioned. For preschool-aged children, 4 to 5 years of age with ADHD, behavior therapy, particularly training for parents, is recommended as the first line of treatment before medication is tried. What works best can depend on the child and family. Good treatment plans will include close monitoring, follow-ups, very important, and making changes if needed along the way. And in order to manage your symptoms, you just have to, you know, develop healthy eating habits, such as eating plenty of fruits, vegetables, whole grain, and choosing lean protein sources, right? Like, we don't think that these are important, but they are, you know? It's like what you put into your body is like fuel for your brain.
So 100%.
In terms of your ability to focus and manage your ADHD, it's important. Participating in daily physical activity based on age, limiting the amount of daily screen time from TVs, computers, phones, or other electronics, and getting the recommended amount of sleep each night based on age.
On restlessness, I get the best sleep. So I don't know if anybody's listening to this and you have ADD or ADHD, like it is so important to just know where your hyperactivity needs to be fueled, right? They talk about channeling your energy, you know, especially if you're like emotionally also very energetic and a talkable person or have all this energy to give out to the universe, like just go work out every day. Like I work out every single morning. I walk everywhere. I will never stop talking. Does that make sense? Like I channel it. And by the time I get to the house, lights out.
Look, self-awareness is always the first step. We've said that multiple times on Luminosity. So if you do think that you're struggling with ADHD, listener, now you know a little bit more about it, that hopefully you can implement some change or, you know, find some resources, talk to a licensed professional, get on medication if that's what you need, maybe enroll in some kind of psychotherapy program. But there is hope and, you know, there are resources that can help you. And, you know, I speak from experience having met people in like rehab that, you know, were there specifically for ADHD because it had gotten out of hand and they weren't able to function because they were so distracted and couldn't do their jobs. They got fired at work or whatever. And that's not a sustainable life or a manageable life. So, you know, there are resources if you think you're struggling. And the first step would be to be self-aware. And then after that, maybe talk to a professional.
In less extreme cases too, I think there's really neat products out these days. Like I remember there's a company called Genius Mushrooms and it's a blend of different, you know, mushrooms that are all legal, by the way. These aren't psychedelic mushrooms. Oh. These are like lion's mane and reishi and like
lion's mane is, I've heard great things
for
about
sure.
It.
And cordyceps and like this blend itself in the capsules, I take two when I'm about to work for the next couple of hours. And it, number one, I am very focused, but then I'm like not at all feeling like anxious while working. I work in a very high energy job, right? So that's one, but then there's plenty of other like powders and gummies, just like I would recommend that too, right? Because those are interesting. Like there's another one with MindRite. Our friends have a coffee boost and it only has like ashwagandha, lion's mane, cordyceps. But when you put in your coffee, like you can get energized, but you're not like crashing and getting anxious because you actually stay focused. So products exist out there that are very neat.
Have you heard of Doc Amen?
No.
No?
Dr. Amen.
Dr. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, the neurologist.
Yeah. Right? No, he's not a neurologist. He's a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
But he has a line of, I played pickleball with him like a week ago in Orange County. And he has a line of, I think like some kind of like gummy. It's like a lion's mane or what's the other like?
There's focusing? Several.
The L-theanine. That's what it was. It was an L-theanine gummy that was meant to help focus and attention and people struggling with ADHD. And he was giving out samples of it. And you can buy it, excuse me, buy it through the Amen Clinic, I think. So,
cool.
You know, there's different products out there. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And a lot of them can help people struggling with focus or ADHD.
So interesting.
Yeah. But I think that's a good place to end. I think we've given our listener some resources and hopefully enlighten them a little bit so that they feel a little bit more luminous.
I love that. We should create a jingle of that.
Yeah.
More.
A little bit more luminous.
That sounded way too sexual.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
All right, I didn't mean it like that.
All right, fine. Let's have
what kind of jingle could we do?
I don't know.
Luminosity, where your mental health is gonna be so in check. And you're going to feel your best. And I'm going to put it to the test. Oh, luminosity.
I think we should strip that audio and like just put it at the top of this episode. If you hear that at the top of the episode, don't be surprised.
I'm having coffee right now.
Lots of caffeine. It's good for us. All right, folks. We really appreciate you tuning in. We hope this was educational and inspiring. We can't thank you enough for coming back to the show if you're a returner. If you came here for the first time, thank you for clicking play. Ratings and reviews help the show grow. We'd appreciate that.
You guys are the best. We appreciate you guys and whatever you can do to help us out in terms of ratings or downloads and, you know, share it with a friend, post on socials. Mm. It means a lot to us, and it literally does keep the show going because, you know, we need the engagement in order to keep That's going. Right.
We need the audience to keep doing the show.
Hell, we need
you
the
guys
audience,
do get to. I mean, it means the world if you guys just share it with a friend, someone you love. So,
yeah,
we'll catch you guys next week. We're going to be talking about depression, but not in a depressive way.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun with it. Don't worry. We're gonna be talking about really serious shit, but it's gonna be.
And be on the lookout for some
teasers. But it's going to be fun.
Season 3 teasers will be out soon if you're with us on social media. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
See you guys.